have things like these, I'm a very firm believer that what happens in the physical world, there's spiritual implications. And what happens in the spiritual world has physical implications. And when we do something that is very biblical, like, you know, confession, forgiveness, letting go, that even though it's spiritual, but something does happen in the physical world, and I'm a very strong advocate, so I really appreciate that. Well, thank God, a few weeks ago, we had a wonderful retreat. God is good. Somebody had commented to me that the speaker is a little bit different than before. That's okay. We have a variety of speakers, variety of messages, so that we can be more well-rounded. April and May of this year, we had a successful run with our Book of Ruth, the sermon-based small groups. We're going to do that again. And so next week, we will be beginning our Book of Jonah. It's another short book, but today I'm going to give an introduction. And so we are going to have small groups. And so I'm going to finish early today. And so we're going to divide up where we used to be. Now, I know some people may not have joined or want to join another group. It's okay. If you look, you can see like sort of like the men's group needs a little bit of prompting to put together. But we're going to put together a men's group if we're going to have to do that. But later on, I'm going to show this slide again. We're going to finish the service early. So you guys can go and then just kind of organize your time. But it's a good time for us to do this again, which is sermon-based small groups. And you see the meeting is underneath the time. The September 16 is the start of the meeting. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you because you are all-powerful. In reality, there's no other God like you because the rest are false gods. And we worship you and we thank you because you are God, most powerful, most holy. We thank you because we are your children. This morning, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Most all of us like to read the New Testament because the New Testament has stories, the New Testament has power, miracles, teachings, etc. Old Testament is much more difficult to read, in fact, very different. So here's a slide that I want to show you. Now today we're going to be looking at slides and looking at your material that you have. And so you can see where Ruth is placed. Can you see where Ruth is placed? It's book number 8. Now, Ruth was a transitional figure because right the time that she was in was a period of the judges. And right after that is a period of the kings. And so with the period of the kings is where we want to look at Jonah. Now, you will see Jonah there, but you see the books of the law, the books of history, the books of poetry, the books of prophecy, etc., etc. Now, you recall that when we looked at the book of Ruth, at the very end of the book of Ruth, we saw this verses. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Remember Boaz, right? Was the kinsman redeemer for Ruth, right? So Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. Now we could see that Ruth's line goes directly into King David. And so this gives us an indication of the transition. Now, what happened, though, right at that particular time, was that right after the judges, Israel was ruled by prophets. And, of course, the most famous prophet was Samuel. Samuel ruled wonderfully. He was called when he was a young boy. In fact, he was a miracle birth himself. But over time, he gave his sons the right to be the priest and the prophet. However, the sons were not doing well. And so the people came up to Samuel and said the following in the first book of Samuel, chapter 8. As Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, the oldest sons, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. "Look," they told him, "you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have." Samuel was displeased with this request and went to the Lord for guidance. God knows human nature so well, much better than you and I know ourselves. A lot of times we think we know ourselves, but God knows. And God's plan was that if you have a wrong judge, find another judge. But look at the people. What did they want? They said, "We want a king." What is the particular reason they wanted a king? Because we want to be like the rest of our neighbors. And so this was a battle cry for the people. They wanted to be like the rest of the world. Now you know, when you have a king, that it's going to be a dictator. It doesn't matter how well they begin, but over time, they get corrupted with power. And so when Samuel went to God and told him what happened, here's how God replied to Samuel. "Do everything they say to you," the Lord replied, "for they are rejecting me, not you." They don't want me, God, to be their king any longer. "Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them." Isn't this the way the world operates? You always start with a leader whose heart is pure and right, but over time, they get corrupted because of power. I come from the Philippines, and this is always what happens, not just in the Philippines, in Asia, as well as in Africa. You have a ruler that starts out and saying, "We want to reform because of the colonialists and what they did." And so what they did was they banished all the stuff, and then they started with freedom. And over time, they start changing the rules because they want to stay in power. God knows that, you see. And God was preventing Israel from going that route. But the people were the ones that rebelled. Now we are going to be looking at Jonah, who is within this time period, because I want to teach you, today's an introduction, I want to teach you how to read the Old Testament. Now you all have a chart. If you don't have one, raise your hand so we get the ushers to give you. Each individual should have one. Some of you folded them, but don't fold them, okay? Anybody else need one? Okay, we need a few more, so we should have for everybody. Now, I know it's hard to read, but I want you to look at the chart, and I want you to see the beginnings of the king from this side. Okay, do you see Saul on the side? King Saul was the first king that was anointed by Samuel. And Saul rebelled, and so he was rejected as king. Now you see underneath is Isbosheth. Isbosheth, when Saul was killed, David was anointed king. But David, out of respect, allowed Saul's son to be a king, but he only was a king for 2 years. And then he was killed. So then you see the line of David. Now, if you look underneath this side, you see the color, and you all have color. On this side, you will see the name, the color. I cannot even identify that color. Ruler of United Israel. Do you see that? Ruler of United Israel. Now, you will see that Israel became a nation like every other nation with a king. But it didn't last very long. Right after David was Solomon, and Solomon was still a united kingdom. Immediately after Solomon's death, the kingdom is divided. So you will see on the upper right side, you will see the name Jeroboam the first. On this side, you will see Rehoboam. You see that? Okay. Today's a little bit technical because I want you to learn how to read scripture. So what happened was, it was supposed to be succession line. We all know David was a king. He was not the perfect king. He had actually sinned quite a bit, but he, in a way, was called a man after God's own heart. After him came Solomon. Solomon initially started out well. What would you want? God asked Solomon. What kind of treasures do you want? How much do you want in terms of riches? Solomon was so smart, he says, I just want wisdom. God said, because you asked for the right thing, I'm going to give you everything. But afterwards, he became corrupt, and he died. And his son, Rehoboam, was the one who succeeded him. And he had advisors. He had two groups of advisors. One were the old elders, and one was his contemporary. So he asked them, because people came and said, you know, your father Solomon was a harsh ruler. Please, be easy on us. So he asked the older advisors, what should I do? They said, you know what? You're right. Your dad Solomon was kind of harsh. Ease up on them. He asked his contemporaries, what shall I do? He said, you know what? Tell them that your father did not do enough hardship, that I'm going to be even more harsh. But because of that, there was a rebellion. And that rebellion was Jeroboam the first. Now, they're not siblings, okay? Now, you will see two things. You see this line that goes straight down? You see on top of it is a lion, right? And you see Judah, the word Judah. So Judah, the nation of Israel was divided right after Solomon. And so you have on the left side, is called the Kingdom of Judah. We call it the Southern Kingdom. If you see this map over here, you see where Judah is, the bottom half, the lower half. Okay. Now on this whole side, the rest of the side, is called Israel. Now why is this important? Because the way you read scripture will reflect a lot on what happens. So when Jeroboam rebelled against Israel, against Jeroboam, it's the opposite. Anyway, when there was a rebellion, this is what God said to him. God said, I will not take the entire kingdom from Solomon at this time. For the sake of my servant David, the one whom I chose and who obeyed my commands and decrees, I will keep Solomon as leader for the rest of his life. But I will take the kingdom away from his son and give 10 of the tribes to you. So what happened was the following. His son will have one tribe so that the descendants of David, my servant, will continue to reign, shining like a lamp in Jerusalem. The city I have chosen to be the place for my name. And I will place you on the throne of Israel, and you will rule over that your heart desires. This is God talking to Jeroboam. Okay? If Jeroboam were to listen, the kingdom would last a long time. But, see what happens. You see Jeroboam? The whole middle to your right is called Israel. That is the direct line of the southern kingdom of Judah. So, you see a date at the very end, Hosea, you see 721? You see this Hosea, 721? That's the date when the whole nation was wiped out. The 10 tribes was wiped out. There was only the tribe of Judah and then another tribe. We don't know which one that is. It possibly could be Levi. But there was really only one tribe, the tribe of Judah. Judah also was sold into slavery in 500 BC, around that time. But where is Jesus descended? He descended from the tribe of Judah. And so the line of David was not broken on this side, called the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. So whenever you read in the Old Testament and you read something like says the king of Israel or the king of Judah, know that it is two different nations that's being talked about. So let me give you this example that is very directly related to our study on Jonah. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. Now, we know that this is not the first Jeroboam, so can you locate Jeroboam in your chart on this side? A second Jeroboam. You see that? A little bit lower. Jeroboam the second. Everybody see it? So, the verse that I just read is talking about Jeroboam the second. And who is his contemporary on the other side? The one I just read. Amaziah. Do you see that? That they're contemporaries? So in one verse, you have two separate kings of two different kingdoms. When you read the Old Testament and you read about the kings, that's why I printed that chart for you, because it helps you to see what you're reading. Okay? Now, the northern kingdom has corrupt kings, has some good kings, but eventually the whole nation became very corrupt. Israel, Judah, on the other hand, had more better kings. It lasted longer, but it also became corrupt. And then the whole thing vanished. Now, watch 2 Kings 14. So we have the two kings, one of the north, one of the south. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. So the second Jeroboam is just as bad as the first Jeroboam. That's what it's trying to say. Okay, so this is what 2 Kings is telling us. But he's not finished. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant, who? Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath Hepher. This is the guy we're going to study. Now, I want you to turn the opposite page in your chart. This is a chart of prophets and the associated kings. What year was Jonah prophesying? Louder. What year was Jonah prophesying? 781. That's when he was prophesying. And when we go to the book of Jonah, you will see that he was quite successful with Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Samaria. We'll talk about that when we get to the book. But what did I say earlier? If you turn it around, when did the kingdom end for the northern kingdom? I said that earlier. 721, right? So even though he was successful in his time, where the whole city converted, but in reality, it did not save Israel. Because after 60 years, it became corrupt again. You see, this whole thing is really about human nature. And human nature is really bad. We're all sinful people. And we all need to come to Christ, because that is the only salvation that we have. And the Old Testament we read, it's the inspired word of God, but we read to understand human nature. Why do we read the Old Testament? We read it because it helps us to understand that without Christ, our goodness only lasts so long. Now, I want to encourage you to begin to read Jonah. Jonah, as you see, it's a very small book, 4 chapters. In fact, you can read the whole book in one sitting because it's a fast-paced book. And I'm sure you all remember Jonah, right? What do we remember about Jonah? The fish or the whale. Some people say it's a... the Bible doesn't say whale, by the way. It says fish. It's a big fish. And we don't know what that is, right? But it's also distinctive because he preaches this message to a city so corrupt. Then the whole city turned around. But instead of being happy, he was so angry at God. And so this book is a wonderful book for us to really learn about human nature. But it's also good for us to learn about who God is and how God is merciful. But we also learn about decision making. How we have our free will in deciding. I know some people say to me, you know, Pastor, I'm just going to do what I want to do, but if God wants to change things, if God is sovereign and he would change it. No, he doesn't do that. Earlier, we read the verse in 1 Kings, in 2 Kings, right? In 1 Kings, when Samuel said, these people want to ask for a king. What did God say? Let them have one. They will know how bad it is. They will suffer the consequence. Same thing here. But this is a fascinating book, and the next 4 studies, the sermon that will be here, that I'll be speaking, and then we'll upload it, plus also your small group study, will help us to really be able to understand God and understand our human will. People are chosen by God, and God has plans for us, but we can decide not to follow God. But when we follow God, we see what God can do. So I'm going to right now show you again this group. And so I know some of you know already who you are as leaders. So why don't we have the Sunday morning group here? I know Beth and Shirley will be leading that group. And then Sunday afternoon, you're with me, be over here. It's co-ed, so men and women for now. And then weeknights, Marina's over there, so Marina is kind of hanging around with Marina. And then Friday in the morning would be Arlene and Tess, we didn't come over this side. And then Friday evening is Gigi, Friday evening. And then if you want to form a men's group or you don't have a group and you want to be in a group, just come over this side and then we can talk about it. Okay, so let's do that right now. And then I'll close around when it's time to close. Okay, let's all stand up and move. If you don't have a group, just come over and then we'll talk about a group.